listening to Castrol CarCast on Podcast One. The Corolla Drinks Wine Club is back, offering you the best deals on 3, 6, and 12 packs of Mangria. Aside from discounts on each and every bottle, with a 3-pack, you'll get a custom actual chicken shit ticket signed by the Ace Man himself. With a 6-pack, you'll get the signed ticket, plus an exclusive shirt with every shipment only available to Wine Club members. We'll kick it off with the Ace Man's definitive Taco Rankings t-shirt designed by Corolla on paper. And with the 12-pack, you'll get the ticket, 3 custom shirts, plus a special invitation for you and a guest to the Corolla Family Summer Barbecue, held at our studio and hosted by Lynette and Adam. You'll eat incredible food, meet Adam, Brian, Gina, myself, and the lackeys, and get a tour of the ACS studio. Plus, you'll get to see each and every one of Ace's cars, including the magical 935. It all goes down June 22nd and is only for you beautiful 12-pack members. So head to CorollaDrinks.com and pick your tier today.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. Welcome to CarCast. I'm Adam Kroll. It's Matt the Motorator, DeAndrea, over there. Lots of stuff to talk about. Mm-hmm. First, the show brought to you by Geico, geico.com, Tommy John, tommyjohn.com/carcast, and Zybar. Love these guys. CarCast brought to you by Zybar for better engine performance, horsepower, fuel economy, and lower underhood temperatures. Zybar is the ultra-thin, high-temperature coating that reduces radiant heat by 90%. Put Zybar on. Take heat off. Learn more at zycoat.com. Alexander Weaver's going to come in here. He's from RM. We've talked to him many times. You know about him. We have I think Paris is their next one. I was just looking at their website this morning. They have some interesting cars there.
Yeah. I want to get to the bottom of this disclaimer. Is it the Paris auction? The Ferrari, it was the blue one. I think it was the F40. It has the weird kind of disclaimer on it. You know what I'm talking about? The one we were talking about, like, yes. I forgot what the wordage was, but that's the car. So Chris got the picture of the car, and there's like in the description, there's this kind of this weird disclaimer. I just want to know what it means because I haven't really seen it before, and
it's not about the car; it's about the sale of the car.
Yeah.
Sometimes there's disclaimers about the car. This is about the sale of the car. So I'm curious it is.
Yeah, some kind of like guaranteed minimum price, and then. But it doesn't that mean reserve? And then I don't know what the kind of issue is. So
we're trying to figure that out. Yeah. So we'll figure that out.
I'm sure it's some weird French thing. Some tax thing.
So that's an issue. That's coming up. There's also a couple of little GTA alphas. A couple little alpha four banger GTAs, the aluminum ones versus the steel-bodied ones, the more coveted ones. They kind of look the same. It's a couple little differences, but the GTAs, they had estimates of like $350,000 to $400,000.
Yeah.
And it's like little four-bangers did not normally have that. As a matter of fact, I'm wondering with some of the Ferrari V12s.
Yeah.
And some of the Lambo V12s and taking a Ferrari GTC4 or whatever, those things, front engine V12 cars, sort of the next gen past the Daytona, those things are now like $199. Like I've seen some, they're dipping under $200,000. So we're now kind of living in a world where some of the four bangers are going for more than the 12-cylinder Ferraris,
yeah,
and Italian cars. And I think
everyone who's paying more is wrong.
I think we used to count cylinders a lot more than we do. When your favorite car, that Jag 220, came out in the late 80s,
yeah,
early 90s, I guess, was big scuttlebutt about it having a V6, and nobody wants a V6 supercar, and it's not a supercar because it's got a V6, and the Jags some of the Jags had the V12 back in the day, and this one has a V6, and so we're not interested. And now those cars are getting to $1 million, right?
Yeah, they are. And there's also something to say about the little cars. Like, it doesn't seem like it's a not enough car. You know, like, one we've talked about recently was the BMW 507. And, you know, and coming up at this Paris auction, this show is, I want to say there's like a Porsche 550 RS. That's millions of dollars.
Yeah, it is weird. I mean, literally, that's sort of the James Dean car.
And you see it in person, you're like, where's the rest of it?
Well,
it's a cool car, but
it's not that, you know, it's Volkswagen Carmen Ghia-esque.
Yeah.
You know, and honestly, Alexander probably coach us up on this, but like, I know
he's going to come in and correct everything.
I know it's got the cool four-cylinder and stuff in it, but I honestly think I could probably get a Carmen Ghia and put a header on it in a four-barrel downdraft something on it and probably hang with that guy on the track.
Yeah.
I mean, it is. It's got 151 horsepower or 163 horsepower or something. It's cool. I don't know how much the James Dean mystique adds to that car, but
I don't know.
It's got 5.5-inch wide rims on it and 75 series tires and a four cylinder that's putting out less than 200 horsepower easily. And you're right. It is a lot of money for that car.
It's a lot of money, and you see it, and it's like, it's kind of not enough car. But
we also, I had a dream last night that somebody built me a 935 tribute car, and then I got a flat tire driving down Laurel Canyon in it.
Wow, and, driving the 935 on Laurel Canyon.
I know, in the
it's
rain.
Like pulling a Bruce Meyer.
And then nobody, and then nobody could fix it. And then I had to go get a new spare tire. It was a crazy 935-esque dream.
How many minutes did you spend on the center lock nut in your dream?
In my dream, I found some guy who also had a 935, and he had a cordless impact driver, and he was going to take the nut off with the cordless impact driver.
Yeah.
And in my dream, this cordless impact driver that was going to take that center lock nut off hooked up to the valve stem of one of the tires that had air in it and used some of the air pressure that was in the tire to help it propel it.
Yeah.
Which is a little semi-ingenious. For a guy who was passed out, I took a bunch of cold medicine. I took a bunch of NyQuil, and then I passed out because I have a cold.
Yeah, so, the crazy NyQuil dreams.
I had a crazy NyQuil dream. We're going to do our 10th anniversary at the Peterson Museum. That's the 10th anniversary of my podcast.
Ooh, 10th anniversary of CarCast as well.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know, but CarCast started the same year.
Same year, just a few months later.
Yeah. 10th I include myself in that group of a lot of people who didn't know. I guess CarCast was one of the first shows we decided to spin off of my podcast.
It was about 6 months after. I came in June. I think you guys started around January. I came in June.
Right.
This June will be 10 years.
All right. Well, then it'll be the 10-year anniversary.
I don't know why we're not talking about that more.
They should.
It's kind of my 10-year anniversary. It's 10 years of...
So
me.
That'll be at the Peterson, and we're kind of breaking it up into 2.5 events. We have the car stuff during the day.
Yeah.
We have the Willie T. Uppity Doc screening midday, or I shouldn't say midday, but I don't know, probably
evening.
At 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, or something like that. And then the Adam Carolla show podcast will start at, I don't know, 7 or something in the evening. And so we'll have... Leno there during the day and other guys. We got what's his name? I can never think of his name. Mike Brewer, right?
Mike Brewer from Wheeler Dealers. He's a really nice guy. He's so much fun.
It was funny because
he's got so much energy.
I played the Irvine Improv a couple weeks ago, and I was driving in and was having my conversation with Mike. which I now have because I drive in separately because he lives in Orange County now.
Mike August,
where he's like, where are you? Because it's 30 seconds to 8. And then I go, the Waze says I'll be there at 8:03. And he goes, fine. But he's like, there's a guy named Mike Brewer here. And I go, okay. And he goes, you know Mike Brewer? And I go, no. And he goes, he's a big car guy. Big car guy. And I go, okay. He's got a lot of cars. Yeah. Yeah, no, he's big. He's got a TV show. Big, popular, super TV show.
Yeah.
It's real popular. And I go, okay. Now, if he would have said Wheeler Dealer or he right. would have said English guy or yeah. whatever, I would have immediately known what it was. I know him as the Wheeler Dealer guy,
yeah.
not Mike Brewer.
Yeah. Yeah,
Mike,
you know so many big car guys. Like, they could literally be from anywhere, the vintage racetracks,
right.
the shows.
Mike August, like details, like his list of facts are always backwards. Like, you always talk to him and go, you should have led with that. You know,
be like, yeah, because
you know the Wheeler Dealers guy? His name is Mike Brewer, he's a big car
Brewer
guy.
Mike Brewer doesn't yeah. sound like Graham Wellington, you know? Like it doesn't yeah. sound English.
Right,
it's like
right.
Jim Brewer's brothers into cars.
Right, yeah.
So that. It's so I'm like, no, I don't. Oh, he's super popular, the car world, man. They watch his show, and I'm like, I don't know. Well, you got to tell me the name of the show, and then at some point, it always takes a lot of digging, and it's like, I think his show's Wheeler Dealer, and I'm like, oh, you mean the English guy from Wheeler Dealers? And he's like, yeah, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I know that guy. So it took a while, but he went to the show, and he came backstage and hung out. He's a nice guy, and he's going to be
yeah.
there. He's going to bring a car, so everyone's going to bring a car.
He's been on Shift and Steer with us a bunch of times. That SEMA, he comes out and does it, and we always have a good time with him. And Ant said he came out with us a few times as well. So the car show event is going to be at the Peterson, like we said. It's going to be 2 o'clock. It's Sunday, March 10th, I believe.
Yes.
The car show is going to be like 2 to 4. Car's got to be loaded in by 2. It's going to be easy. If you want to just go and show up and hang out, it's $20 to see the car show. You want to bring a car, it's $35. But the Peterson is big. So everybody, we talked about like curating a handful of cars. No, bring everything you got. We can fit tons of cars. No, basically no limit, right? We want hundreds of cars there. Jay Leno is going to bring a car. Like you said, Mike Brewer is going to be out there. He's going to bring a car.
We're going to see if the Joel McHales of the world and guys like that want to bring their or Joe Rogan or those
right.
kind of guys want to bring a car.
And we're gonna do some judging. We're gonna do like a People's Choice Award. I'm gonna judge. You're gonna judge. We're gonna hand out some awards and maybe find some prizes.
Okay, why don't we get Alexander Weaver to head toward the studio? I'll tell you about Tommy John in the meantime.
Mm-hmm.
Valentine's Day is coming up, people. You want to get the best gift? Chocolate's fine. Flowers, they die pretty fast. Tommy John, redefining comfort for men and women with luxury, soft, featherlight, moisture-wicking underwear that moves with you. No pinching, no bunching, no riding up. Still looking for a Valentine's Day gift? Try their limited edition loungewear and underwear, including matching his and her sets. Last year, the limited edition sold out in less than a week. Let's not wait. It's the best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free guarantee. It is the best. You will never go back to whatever you're currently wearing once you go with Tommy John. I'm actually wearing mine right now. I just pulled them out of the package this morning. Tommy John, no adjustment needed, right, Matt?
Right on. Shop limited edition Valentine's Day gift sets and get 20% off your first order. Just go to TommyJohn.com/carcast. And I wanted to do something fun with Tommy John because you've all been sending me unsolicited love for their product. If you're a fan, and I know that many of you are, tag me, @Moderator, on all social media. Tell me why you love Tommy John underwear or a fun story around Tommy John. I'm going to read my favorite comments in the show. So one more time, just go to TommyJohn.com/carcast.
So our old friend Alexander Weaver is here. RMSotheby's.com is where you can go. I was just a car specialist. I was just looking on the site at the Paris auction, which is coming up February 6th. And Matt and I are very interested in that F40 with Le Mans history. But so not many F40s with Le Mans history, Ferrari F40s with Le Mans history, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
No, just a couple of them. And, you know, this is one of the more special ones. And this F40 actually started life as one of their prototypes and then was later converted into an LM. So it had a really interesting early life as a prototype street F40 that was used for a lot of testing and everything, then went on to later be converted into an LM car.
Does – and the price – or not the price. The estimate is I think between 4 and 5, like euro or so, 4.5 and 5.5 euro, which I don't know, will meet in the middle and be at $5.5 million or something like that.
Yeah,
whatever that is. But it also had this not kind of no reserve, but a sale guarantee or something. And I was talking to Matt, like we couldn't figure out what the language was. What is the language?
What does it mean?
So in some cases, there are cars that have you know, a bid has already been placed on a car, so guaranteeing that it will be sold. So it's the same as, you know, you say, I'm interested in this Alpha GTA, you know, and the estimate's 300 to 350 euros, and you say, all right, well, I'll pay 325. So we already have a guaranteed bid from someone at a certain price.
Oh, is that new?
That's cheating.
No, it's honestly not that common in the car world. But sometimes a seller won't sell a car until you can say, listen, it will be sold. And then, you know, you figure it out, you know, later. At the
so
auction,
by bid, you mean somebody says, okay, have this car. I want to sell this car. I want to sell my Datsun 510 BRE car with you.
Yeah.
Which I'm happy for all the four bangers going up because I feel like a real BRE 510's gotta be a good thing. So I go, I'm going to consign it to you. But I don't want a no sale, and I want to know that you have someone in your galaxy that is interested in this car before I hand it over to you.
Yeah, it's possible. Yes. So, you know, typically it's only done on extremely high value cars. Mm-hmm. This is one of the lower value ones, honestly, that we've ever done this for.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but you know, it's maybe done once or twice a year.
So you then you
in the art world, it's extremely common. It's, all the art, you know, all the big so art that comes to auction has an irrevocable bid on it.
So sort of in layman's terms, the car, somebody said, I am interested in this car at $5 million. And then you go to the, consignor and you go, okay, here's the minimum. They go, fine. That's the minimum we'll get. We'll give it to you. And if it goes above it, it goes above it. If not, that's what it sells for.
Exactly.
Interesting.
Does the person who puts in that sort of, you know, pre-phone bid to you, does he continue to bid later? He's just like, I'm just in for this. If I get it, I get it. If not,
absolutely at his discretion.
Right.
You know, at the bidder's discretion, they can do whatever they want at that point too. And they're just a standard bidder beyond that.
Very interesting. Yeah. And it's interesting that it's common in the art world, but we don't follow that.
Your Basquiats and Van Goghs, all that stuff, you know, usually that is all already guaranteed to be sold.
You've been buying your Basquiats all wrong.
Yeah.
How many car auctions and how many times have we've had this conversation and we always continue to find something new in the auction world about what's going on? There's always some – I guess everything's just negotiable. Just everything's negotiable, right?
To an extent.
Right.
There's also the aforementioned, we were talking about the GTAs, the Alphas. Now, I don't know what a good GTV is going for now. What is a good GTV going for now?
Anywhere, I think a rough 160, nice one's 100, great one's 140. So
those things have gone up.
Yeah,
absolutely. The whole world has gone up fast.
And those cars, I mean, I don't know if you've been in one, but they are fantastic handling cars. Yeah, you feel like, okay, you only have 100-something horsepower. But when you're in that car, the way they handle and the way they drive, once you get that momentum going, and I've had some in the canyons out here in L.A., and they just stick.
Well, I had a 92 Alpha, so I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking
about. You had to get the momentum up, right?
It really is just a lot of momentum and a lot of downhill. I'm actually curious about the Lister Jag. That's a Le Mans car as well, right?
Yes.
What's the world of Lister Jags, and then what does Le Mans do to it? Because that's kind of an interesting topic of ours all the time is like, what does the Le Mans pedigree add to vehicles?
I think a Le Mans pedigree can add a lot or very little. You know, it depends on how it did there. Did it, you know, when in the 60s, I had a friend that had a Sunbeam that was a Sunbeam coupe, and his won some trophy at Le Mans that was like for efficiency, because it got the most miles per gallon at Le Mans.
Right.
You know, like, so
it's like a participation award. Yeah,
exactly. So he has this car, and I can't remember what this trophy is called, but it was for the efficiency award or something like that. And does that add value? Probably not. But, you know, he's thinking, well, you know, his car ran Le Mans the same year Bruce Meyer's short wheelbase did. And he goes, well, you know, I got actually a trophy, and Bruce Meyer didn't. You know, his car didn't.
It doesn't add nothing.
No.
It adds something. It's an interesting kind of.
It's an interesting talking point, at least. It's something to add to the car. But yeah, it didn't win overall. But depends on how something did.
Did they offer the efficiency trophy every year and we never knew about it?
Yeah.
They do. I think they do. I think we can have a little more apples to apples discussion. First off, the Alpha GTVs and GTAs, they don't handle that good because I beat those three guys in my Datsun Roadster that one year, and that thing's got a frame and like a straight rear axle and drum brakes. Yeah. It's essentially a truck.
Well, there's a part that's between the steering wheel and the seat that makes a difference.
Yeah,
there too,
so. Buddy. Those guys were good. That was Martin Lauber and company. Yeah. Remember those guys? Yeah. That was the first year. Anyway, it was really fun. And he told me after the race, which was really funny because I saw those guys, Max Zapata, you may have some footage of that somewhere. But after the race, they're real good guys, Martin, and they have he's racing like an F1 vintage car now and stuff like that. But they were passing each other a lot, and then they'd go through the corkscrew two at a time sometimes, side by side, and they kept passing each other, and I was kind of looking at them, and I was racing with them. I was kind of wondering what they were doing. I didn't know they knew each other, and then after the race, they said, oh, yeah, if you keep it real tight and you pass each other a lot, you get a lot of camera time. And I was like, because they're like, if you spread it out, you're just running solo and you're number 14 and you're just running in space.
Yeah.
They don't put the camera on you.
That's a good point.
They put the camera on you when you're dicing it up. So I think him and his friends sort of decided it'd be a good idea to dice it up. I think they're still trying to win, but they're still trying to dice it up.
Yeah, you get three red alphas out there dicing it up. You want camera time. You put your little Datsun in the middle.
So... But the F40, you know, an F40 is, you know, $1 million and maybe some change is if you want to buy an F40 Ferrari. Mm-hmm. So this one is $5 million or so. It has Le Mans history, and then there's a prototype part of it, so I don't know. Yeah. But so one could go, well, I don't. What did it come in, like 13th overall at Le Mans or something like that?
Yeah, it was. I think it was in the top 10, but you know, it did okay for what this was.
Chris will find out. Yeah. But either way, so you have a Ferrari F40, and you go, all right, that's $1 million, and then you go, here's one with a Le Mans history that didn't break and completed Le Mans, and finished in the top 10 or so. I think it's maybe top 15 or something like that.
Two-time participant at 24 Hours of Le Mans in 95 and 96, 12th overall in 95.
Okay, there we go.
I was way off.
Then it had a bunch of other winners and other stuff, too.
Right. Yeah. Okay, so now you go this thing, now with race history and Le Mans twice and 12th overall, which nothing to sneeze at. You finished, and you finished in the top 15. So now you go, that's $5 million. So mm-hmm. Does that make it five times value? Or
well, I think a regular F40 LM that doesn't have this history is already three times the value, three to four times the value, actually, for that matter, because they're so rare, and it's because, you know, how do you...
Because it's not an F40, it's an F40 LM.
Yeah, there's 1,200 regular F40s, you know, and then there's just a handful of ones that were built in
so
the LM specification.
So this is adding $1 million on top of the LM because of its...
Exactly, yeah. They only made 19 of them. Right. You know, 19 of the 1,200 F40s built were LMs. So, you know, you're already trying to find a differentiator there.
And you find out what the last LM F40 sold for. We figure out whatever this sells for. And then you go, here's what that does. Here's what Le Mans would do
exactly.
to a car.
So a couple, you know, the last one that sold publicly is one that we sold in 2015. And at the time, we were expecting that car to do like 2 to 2.5. And I think it did 3.3.
They
you know, that stunned a lot of people then in 15. And then, you know, since then, in the past 6 to 9 months, I think one or two have traded hands around the 5 million marks. So,
wow.
They're doing well.
And what about the fact, so we're talking about the GTAs, you know, again, adjusted for the euro, the estimates are like 400 grand or something. There's a couple, there's one that's like 325, 350, is another one that's like 400. And then there's Cortinas.
Yeah.
There's been some Cortinas that gone for 240, 250.
That's unbelievable.
So now you got these sort of four bangers. I mean, real sort of definition of a four banger, like a little bit boxy, 13, 14 inch rims, you know. Nothing wide, nothing big, four cylinder, whatever. How do you explain that section of the car world is going as it's going?
I would say that a lot of that has to do with the eligibility for racing of those cars. So you can take them to and participate in a lot of events, Monterey, whatever. You know, you can go in Europe, they're eligible for a lot as well. And, you know, being able to do that, those kind of races, and have a car that's pretty easy to maintain. I mean, right. Let's face it, it's half the motor of anything else. So it's a lot easier to work on, or a lot easier. A lot of guys that can actually run those cars. You run them out of your home garage. You can, you know, have a team that does it, you know, kind of, you know, have a shop that runs 8 of them for you, you know, for a group of guys or something like that. So I think they're really eligible and easy to run, which has made them, you know, and they're fun. You know, I mean, let's face it, driving a slow car fast is more fun than driving a fast car slow. And I think a lot of us could actually get in something like that and push it near its limits. So, you know, rather than getting in, you know, a Can-Am car or something crazy like that, that, you know, we're not going to know what to do with that kind of horsepower. I'm not, at least. I don't know about you guys, but
probably not.
So,
well, you know, maybe. That Corvette had 850 horsepower.
Yeah,
that
was a lot of power.
That was a modern car.
Yeah.
So it was easier.
I think, you know, you can use it for a lot of stuff, in other words. And it's a lot of fun to actually use and drive.
Yeah, I agree. I just got a invitation from our friend Dave Stone, who has a lot of Bob Sharp stuff and championship 510s and things like that. And they're putting together this big John Morton, like, run thing, trophy thing. And they're going to get a big group together, and I think they're going to Sonoma. And I want to bring the different drummer car. And it is fun. It's in any endeavor, it's a lot of fun to have a lot of little cars that have about the same horsepower and a big group, and everyone, no big distinct advantage for anybody, just momentum cars, and you can drive really close to one another. And it is look, I always tell everyone, you fly in a commercial airplane, you go 550 miles an hour, you fall asleep. You know, it's not about how fast you're going. Yeah. It's a kind of sensation.
Yeah.
You get in a shopping cart and someone pushes you down a hill,
you go
14 miles
speed.
An hour, and you're going nuts, right? So when you think about those little four bangers, and you think about, you know, the little 13-inch rims and, you know, all the drum brakes and everything else, and like no windows and stuff.
Yeah.
And you go, you go to Fontana, you go like 133 miles an hour, like down the back straight, you know, going into the bank turn. And you're like, it's insane, the feeling of going 130 miles an hour in a little shit box.
And in a little roadster. If you do it in a little roadster, it's just...
Yeah, well, the roadster, well, I needed an aero helmet. No one told me. The things no one tells you, you know? It's like, it's got this windscreen thing that goes up about 4 inches above the dash. It does nothing. And I didn't have an aero helmet. No one said, you got to get an aero helmet. Your head's hanging out of the thing.
Same thing happened to me out in, Thermal Club. I went out there and drove the Lotus, the V10 F1 car.
Oh,
and they just kind of have like a rack of suits you put on, like any like driving school kind of thing, and helmets. And you just kind of get a helmet that kind of fits and not really. And then you just hammer down that straightaway and the acceleration. And you would literally feel your head pulling off of your body. And you're like, I don't know if this is supposed to happen. And if the helmet doesn't fit right, you kind of lose your line of sight because the parts in front of your mouth, it starts to get in front of your eyes. And you're like, well, I don't know if this is right. You know, you don't want to slow down because your helmet's coming off. You just kind of want to you know, trying to grab the chin strap and just kind of hold it down a little bit. It's weird.
Well, back to those four bangers, like you, I mean, you have fun racing the 510s or the Roadster or anything like that in those races, you know, and when you're in the 935, is it not, you're a little nervous and nobody's wanting to really dice it out or anything like that in those races. So it can be a little more exciting in some ways, you know, different sensation of speed and aero and all that kind of stuff. Absolutely in the 935, but you're a little more nervous.
I think there's a little misconception. Do we have any of that footage of that stupid race with those Malachi triplets?
I'm still looking.
I don't know. We had it. I think it was on the car show.
It was on the clip from the car show on Speed Channel years ago.
You know,
and we talked about it on podcast because
I think there's a slight misconception in that. People have this thought that, oh, well, when you get into the expensive cars, no one's out there really pushing it because it's expensive. Like the cars are really expensive. I just find that I learned when I used to teach boxing that I couldn't have guys spar half speed because they can't do it. Because one guy gets popped in the nose and then it just kind of goes. Like it just kind of moves up. And I do notice in the four cylinder world, in the 510 world, everyone's a little more grouped up because there's no big power difference.
Right. There's more parity as far as the cars are concerned.
Yeah. I mean, some of the guys in their, you know, 2002 BMW, you know, those cars are a little bit built a little like maybe cheater motors or something. They're like some of those guys are got a little bit more horsepower, the Breck brothers or whoever. Yeah. But most of the guys kind of hang out in the same, or, you know, the 200 horsepower realm. And you do kind of hang out in the same world. But the high horsepower guys are equally as aggressive and equally willing to do stupid passes and do whatever. I don't think there's as much compensation for the fact that you're driving multi-million dollar cars as you would think. You would think people would be like, okay, take it easy now.
Yeah.
But there's assholes all over the track doing like crazy moves, and it doesn't really – it's kind of evened out.
Go to Goodwood.
Well, for sure, Goodwood. But like you have to think – I always think like, who is the guy, like, who's the guy who goes, I want to race in vintage, and I'm not interested in the GTVs or the 510s or Lotus, whatever. I want to race a Decon Monza. And you think about who that guy is. Yeah. And that guy's not a guy who's interested in, like, oh, after you, or let's keep it similar. Yeah, no. If you think it's a good idea to get in a Decon Monza and race – then you think it's a good idea to haul ass at all.
Yeah.
So it does everybody in a Decon Monza, half the people in the 935, most of the people in any sort of built Mustang, you know, Roush Mustang or whatever, you know, Tommy Kendall Roush Mustang Trans Am car. Those guys already think it's a good idea to do stupid stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So
they bought one of those cars.
Yeah, you did. So you did.
Right.
They bought one of those cars. They're like, I'm racing this bitch.
Exactly.
So
they probably have worked their way up to that.
You hope so.
Car. That's what you hope for. Yeah.
It'd be nice.
Yeah.
So you've separated a lot of, it's a self-selecting group of guys who want to go fast.
Yeah.
So there's a few normal guys toward the back, but.
No, I mean, your first race was what, in the 610 maybe? Was it
probably
Coronado in the 610 and kind of worked your way up to the bigger cars?
Yeah.
I'm not exactly sure the exact order of cars, but
the 610's always been. I started with the 610 and moved to the 2000 Roadster and the 510's or whatever, and then eventually the Paul Newman stuff. And you know, it's really the speed is different, but the sensation and all the same rules, I would say.
If anything, when you got into the 2+2 car, you're like, it's a bigger car. It's just a big car compared to the 610, 510.
Yeah, it's a little more comfortable. And it is kind of fun to have that power. So Paris auction, that is coming up on the 6th. What are the, I don't know what the international rules are. We always try to figure out, like, do they tack on this much for tax or this much for tariff or this much for whatever? What do they do in Paris that's different than what they do stateside?
So it all depends on where you live and where you're going to register the car, and you have to be aware of your own country's tax implications, basically. Mm-hmm. But if you were to buy a car in Paris, for instance, and you say, all right, I'm going to bring it back to the U.S., what happens is you buy the car plus the buyer's premium, the hammer price plus buyer's premium, and then we're actually required to charge a tax on our service, which is the buyer's premium. But as long as we show that the car has left the country within 90 days, mm-hmm. that is refundable. Right. So you get that back anyway. Yeah. And then you got to pay, you know, if it's a European car, a non-U.S. made car, you have to pay the tax coming into the U.S. If it's a U.S. made car, it can usually come back in tax free anyway.
Oh, interesting. So if it was made here.
Yeah. So if you're buying a Mustang in France, you bring it back in here and it was built in the U.S., you can bring it back in tax free typically.
That's all right. Let me tell you about, I don't know where that footage, I know it's weird footage.
Anything else that you would recommend I
Well, it's a weird thing because I've always had it on a disc. We burnt it into the computer at some point, but it got labeled probably something weird or not at all or whatever. It is weird how people
do. You still
label
have those
things.
Discs? I can digitize redigitize them again.
Yeah, we'll make a note of it.
Yeah,
and I feel like it was covered on their TV. It was on the Speed Channel when they covered the race. It aired.
Yeah, that stuff surprisingly doesn't really live on the internet after it airs.
I don't know. What do you got? What are you typing in?
I'm doing I looked at all the old races you did. Malachi, Adam Carolla. Like, I quote Malachi just so it, anything with that word.
Oh, there's no
word.
Malachi. That's
Martin.
No, like, no. You just, I don't know, put in 2000 Roadster BRE Corolla race or something.
Okay.
The Malachi twins, that's from Happy Days.
Yeah. Yeah, I realize that now. I'm just telling you what I typed. Like, I'm
yeah, okay. Well, then type in Lenny and Squiggy and see if we get any Roadster footage up there. All right, let me tell you about the Zycote. Many engines, like the aforementioned BRE 510 or the BRE 2000. 510s on the same side, 610s on the same side. They take all the hot components, the manifold and the exhaust, and they put them on the same side, man. So all the heat comes off the header and comes up and wreaks havoc on the there goes your phone. That's why I don't bring mine in.
Trying to find the video.
Oh, okay. Well, as long as you're trying, keep trying. Heat's the enemy of speed. That's all we know. Before, your only options were wraps, tapes, ceramics. Now, Zybar DIY high temp coating reduces radiant heat by 90%. This stuff is the real deal. Resin based polymer formula withstands temperatures in excess of the engine environment, and costs one third of what the ceramic coatings. And you can do it yourself. You don't have to send it out and wait for it. So this stuff's great. Comes
the finish looks good, too. I've seen it done nicely.
I think it comes in like four different colors, but I think you could probably get a custom color if you talk to them about it. CarCast listeners get a 15% discount plus free shipping on all the online orders. Just enter the promo code CARCAST, then purchase at Zycote.com. So are you heading off to Paris shortly, Alexander?
Yeah, I'm heading out on Sunday, so be there Monday. Have you ever been? I mean, it's a great thing to do, actually. Retromobile is awesome. You know, there's nothing like it ever in the U.S., and there's the giant convention center in downtown Paris, and, you know, all the big dealers, all the manufacturers, you know, you can buy everything from a leather, you know, helmet to drive your car in it, or a $20 million Ferrari sitting on the floor. You know, I mean, all these dealers set up their own stands. It's really cool. Then you'll have everybody from Ferrari, Renault, Peugeot, Fiat, you know, they do like their classic displays, Jaguar, all that in Land Rover.
It's a bigger event than, you know, just the normal auction event.
Right? Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, there's three auctions that occur during the week. You know, ours is one of them. But, you know, beyond that, just the displays that everyone has and the interactions you can do and the things you can buy and, you know, learn about. And I mean, it's really fantastic, actually.
There's nothing like it here. If you were to combine three things, what would it be?
It'd be like the Detroit Auto Show, if you were doing like kind of old and specialty stuff from the manufacturers,
yeah,
and
then like a little bit quail,
yeah, and then quail and car. I mean, it's just a little bit of all these different ones. You know, it's really interesting, and it's a huge, huge thing. And everybody from Europe is, you know, all the great dealers, all the great collectors, you know, and it's really become really popular for a lot of the people in the U.S. to go over there and experience.
And then the next thing is Amelia Island. Is that coming up next?
Yeah, yeah, the beginning of March. Right? Yeah,
I want to tease something. I think Max Pata found us a little footage here, but I want to tease something. We'll watch 10 seconds of footage, and then I'll show you this. But I've also noticed at the on the RM website that there's a Senna helmet and another helmet, F1 helmet, a couple of fire suits and stuff like that. I think the estimate for the Senna helmets, again, I'm doing a conversion, but somewhere like maybe 110, 120 American. That world didn't really exist too long ago, right? Maybe there's a Schumacher helmet,
There's a Schumacher helmet. Yeah,
yeah, I think there's a watch.
There's fire suits and helmets. That was a sort of neither here nor there world a few years ago. Now it seems like the collectors are getting into that aspect of it.
Yeah, yeah. It's, you know, it's something fun to have in your garage, you know, put on display. I mean, you have great race suits and great memorabilia in your garage too. So
I'm happy about it. Yeah. It's just when I got that stuff, it was just sort of neither here nor there.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Like, yeah. Is that the Christie or the Sotheby's influence when RM and Sotheby's finally got together?
Yeah, it's all sorts of different. I mean, you see all these other guys selling this stuff at Retromobile and places like that, and you know, dealers for this great, you know, Formula One memorabilia, and it's like, well, we might as well try it as well, and it's been very successful for us.
We'll keep an eye on it. All right,
before you show that clip, let me tell you a little bit about Geico.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's got a to-do list. You drop off dry cleaning, you pick up some milk, and now you can save hundreds of dollars on car insurance to that list. And you don't have to pick up or drop off anything. Just go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. So if you want some extra money in your pocket, this is the most rewarding to-do you can do today. Check out geico.com.
All right, and before I show you this clip, I just need some sort of redemption here. Okay, so the way I found this one was I was looking at all of your old races, and I looked at the transcripts, because when we upload these videos, there's commentary over it. Mm-hmm. And I found you saying the word camera. And then I looked every time he said the word camera, and I finally found the shot here.
Is this Laguna Seca 2011?
Hopefully that saves the Malachi.
I think the camera ran out of batteries or something, or fell apart or something like that. But it's still, I don't think it's the one from the actual race. I mean, the cameras at the race.
Oh yeah, this is the only one that we were able to find, at least. This is from 2011 Laguna Seca. And you're talking about, you're driving behind the three alphas.
Not to shit on his point, but I literally Googled, and the very first thing I just watched the clip was this video.
Wait, whose point are we shitting on?
On his, because I typed in just different keywords than you did, and this was the first video that I got.
Yeah, but you wouldn't have been able to find the
Just saying,
the
nailed it.
All right, man.
Nailed it.
Yeah. Why we call him good man.
But you're right. This is the spot. 5:59, 6 minutes into it. Do it.
Vision will cover you guys. If you get all spread out, they won't cover you running alone.
But if
you get in a pack and you go for it a little bit, they'll do it. So they all stay in a pack, and I decided to catch up to the pack. Either way, Les was ready to head back to L.A. with no tack. He said, I said, Les, when can we get this tack thing straightened out? He said, definitely by Monday when we get back to L.A. I said, what the fuck good is it going to do me then? I can't. And again, you can listen to it. I get down into first gear, by the way, here. Okay, first. Oh, we're outside of the car now.
A good looking car.
It is.
I was just looking at the same thing again.
So that,
I don't even know why you were using second and third. Why don't you just pick one of them?
John Morton said don't bypass third.
Huh. Well, there it is. Well, you can probably move it further along than that. Or does the camera drop out on that thing? Is that what happens?
See, this was our CarCast footage on the Speed Channel, on the car show footage. That's where we nitpicked more because they had.
It's weird because I have the disc of the race as taken from the cameras that were there for the Speed Channel, but I don't. I guess we never uploaded it.
Yeah, we'll put it on the internet.
Does this camera fall out or something as I catch up to these guys?
I haven't watched it that far yet.
Well, go ahead then.
All right,
go forward. So I think
you were using second and third. Why don't you just pick one of them?
Well, you can, John Morgan, you can jump ahead.
Let's see if we get up to these guys. Because I think what happened is by the time we caught up to these alpha guys, I think the camera like went dud.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah,
you can fast forward, Chris. I think what ended up happening, it's such a beautiful track, such a beautiful weather, such a beautiful part of the world, if you think about it. Oh yeah, I think like the over the shoulder camera or something fell apart or something.
Yeah, it looks like it's just all
that's what happened.
Exterior shots of the straightaway after that.
We will be let's see, live shows. I will be doing stand up in at Foxwoods. Is that next or this?
Well, today's Friday, so you could still technically it's next Friday, but
oh. I'll go this. Okay. I know it's a little controversial.
I know. I'm fine with this too, but
otherwise I go with today.
I don't.
This Friday, the 8th, I'll be doing stand up in Foxwoods, and then the Wilbur Theater in Boston, which is a beautiful theater, right in the middle of Boston. That'll be then Saturday, the 9th, and. There you go.
Our car show at the Peterson Museum. Go to peterson.org, click on events, you can buy tickets.
And check out Shift and Steer as well. Thank you. You can check that out at Podcast One. And check out the rmsotheby's.com, rmsotheby's.com. And see, I love to look on that website and see what all the cars are going for, what the estimate is. And it's well done. It's a well done website. Some of the car websites are a little
less,
lacking.
Less than well done.
Little less than well done. Alexander Weaver, where else can people find you if they want to send you a tweet or an Instagram?
RM Sotheby's on Instagram, myself, Weaver Garage on Instagram, and rmsotheby's.com.
So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Alexander Weaver and Matt the Moderator, DeAndrea, saying keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.